Thank you for joining us at Books as Bad as Twilight podcast. This podcast will discuss books that may or may not be as bad as the popular series Twilight. As can be expected, we will discuss the books in detail, so spoiler alert.
We highly suggest you read the book beforehand or read along with us. You can use the link in our show notes to purchase the current book we're reading. Also in our show notes are links to the Books as Bad as Twilight website and all of our social media pages. Quick shout out to our image designer, Katie Hartung. Her website is listed in our show notes at khartgraphics.com. khartgraphics.com.
Music at the beginning of the show provided by Gabe Miller Music. You can find him on YouTube, SoundCloud, and his website, GabeMillerMusic.com.
When I watch TV and stuff, I want to turn off my head. I don't want to watch it for... I watch it for entertainment. So, like, that's why I watch scary movies and funny movies and stuff, because it brings me into a different world. I don't like drama and stuff like that. I know Atlanta is, like, a comedy drama.
Yeah.
But it just, there's too much drama. Like, I tune out.
I was going to say, I want to be that person that can turn off my brain, but I also don't want to. So, yeah. I have a hard time because I love watching the dramas, but, like, drama is, like, not Grey's Anatomy. Like,
no, that's a soap opera.
Right. Yeah, like
that's an opera. Yeah.
Atlanta's something I've been trying to get into. It's just I'm busy. So, yeah. like The Crown, I was telling you, which is, like, a lot of these dramas are an hour long.
This is exhausting.
It is. And so, like, I know I watched one episode of The Crown, season 2, episode 4. Like, that is a brilliant episode. You just want to watch any episode of The Crown, watch that one. It's so good. And I left that, and I felt like I'd been through, like, I was shook. I'd been through an experience, and I just felt exhausted afterward. Mm-hmm. Like, I could not believe it felt like a movie.
Yeah.
It's just so long. I mean, it was really good, and that's why I continue to watch them. It's just that I don't want to, like, watch it for, like, 30 minutes and then stop. I want to watch the whole thing.
Yeah.
And that takes time, and so I find that I don't watch as much. So.
And for me, I'm a binge watcher.
Are you?
Yeah, like... I devour series, and I can't sit through hour-long things sometimes.
Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah, so, and that's why I stick to comedies when I watch stuff. So, like, Scrubs, The Office, Community, Unbreakable, like, those are the things that I watch, just so I MasterChef.
Yeah, of course. I was gonna say Top Chef is my jam. I watch Top Chef. MasterChef, I watched the kids one. I haven't watched because I've just gotten into it.
They're so cute.
I know.
They're so smart.
They are. It's my I've watched God. It recently, but yeah.
I don't know how they do half the stuff that they do.
I know. It's amazing.
Ugh.
I love cooking shows is when I turn my brain off. That's when I turn my brain off.
So this is now a television review podcast.
What? Yeah, I guess we should talk about, you know, the topic that we're here for, right? Which is Lost. I mean, Books as Bad as Twilight.
Yeah. I was like, don't say the podcast name.
Applause, applause, applause. All right. So, welcome to the show, everybody. This is Books as Bad as Twilight, the podcast where we talk about books that may or may not be as bad as Stephanie Meyer's Twilight.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Danielle.
And I'm Brittany.
And today, we're going to be talking about Lost in a Book by Jennifer Donnelly. As a whole.
We're finally going to say whether or not it is as good or as bad or on par. With Twilight.
And we have not shared our ratings with each other yet. So I'll be interested to see what each of us thinks of the rating and stuff. Because it took me a long time to think of my rating.
Oh, I didn't. Really? I thought of my criteria and I was like, okay.
Yeah. I see. I should have looked at my I just thought of my criteria in my head.
Yeah.
But I know what I rated it, because just for context, the rating that we give this book is not the rating, like, a true, it's in the rating, like, in context of the show. So we're going to discuss the book as a whole, Lost in a Book. So spoiler warning, right?
You
read the book?
Why are you listening?
Maybe you just want to hear us make fun of a book. I don't know.
A lot of people I know haven't read this book.
I was going
to
say.
So they're just listening to us yammer.
Fair enough. Welcome to all those who come to
hear us
yammer.
I fidget so much. I'm so sorry.
You don't need
to apologize.
It must
be really annoying. I rub my legs.
It's not annoying, but I was going to say one episode, you were clicking a pen, and it was just making me laugh while I was editing, because I kept hearing it, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's so funny. Because when we were recording, I guess I noticed it, but I didn't really pick up on it that much.
Yeah.
And so afterward, I'm like, haha, there
it is. It's all part of the environment.
It is. We like to make an environment here for all of you to know, hear sounds. You know, it's an audio podcast, so audio medium.
Is that what we're doing, Danielle?
I think so. I'm not sure. So if you like this show, we would really appreciate it if you gave it 5 stars. And actually, let's talk about it right now.
Yes.
Shall we? So, a few episodes ago, around episode 11 and 12, we announced that we were starting a giveaway.
Mm-hmm.
We asked you to rate and review us on iTunes, 5 stars. And,
only 5 stars considered. I'm joking.
I think so, but, whatever.
Oh, no, we have to be fair. It's
fair
anyone who writes
sucks.
A review.
Fair sucks. No. Yes, leave us a review on iTunes, and when you do that, you will automatically be entered into our giveaway contest. Just be sure that when you review on iTunes, it doesn't always appear right away. So once you leave a review, or before you click review first, though, that is submitted to iTunes, and then take a screenshot of your review.
Yeah.
And then send it to us at our email, which is badastwilight@gmail.com.
Or you could post it on our Facebook if you don't want to email us.
Yeah, and put a hashtag on there, like Babat, B-A-B-A-T.
Just so it's easy. Easily searchable.
I was about to say on Twitter, too.
Yeah.
Like, add us on Twitter and then put that hashtag.
Just send it to us somehow.
Send it to us somehow. And then you will automatically be entered into the giveaway to receive a random book. So you won't know until you get it.
Mystery books.
Mystery book.
Oh, not mystery books, but mystery book.
Yeah, mystery book. The book is a mystery. Okay, come on.
It's not a mystery book. It's a mystery book.
I feel like there's a song I want to sing, and I can't think of it. And I'm like, oh, what is it? It's on the tip of my tongue. But it'd be so perfect. Mystery book. I don't know.
What?
Just ignore me. I have a song that I know it says mystery in it, but I can't think of how it goes. So, I'm just,
it's fine.
Just, I'm weird. Yeah, it's fine. Just ignore me, listeners. So for more episodes from us, to listen to our next episode where we talk about our next book, season two. Yes, that's going to be exciting.
Yeah.
What are we discussing, Brittany?
We are going to talk about Harry Potter and the Cursed Child.
And we don't know what we're going to be how we're going to split that up yet. So if you're listening to this, just look in the show notes. We will write in the show notes what chapters or really acts we're going to be talking about.
Oh, yeah. It's a play.
Yeah, it's a play.
And it's going to be... I've read plays before. It's been a long time since I've read a play. Mm. But it's going to be interesting how we talk about it.
Yeah, I think...
I don't want our season to be 3 episodes, like one an act.
I was going to say, it won't be. Yeah. We'll figure that out, but yeah, it'll be fine. But
did they break it up by scene, too?
They do, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of scenes, so we can figure that out.
Yeah,
but
we'll figure it out.
We'll put that
don't
in the
worry,
show
notes. Listeners.
Yeah, we'll tweet it out, we'll put it on Facebook, but more importantly, we'll have it in the show notes. That way, you can see it, and that way you'll know what to expect next week, or next episode. So... if you would like to listen to more of our episodes or our new episodes, all you need to do is subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or just listen on our website, babatpodcast.com, or any podcatcher app that catches podcasts from iTunes.
I listen to us on Podcast Addict.
Podcast Addict. Nice. That's a really popular one. Actually, the reason I texted you the other day was because my friend was looking for a new podcast app.
Oh, okay.
So I wanted to recommend
what
that
one. Do you listen to?
I use iTunes.
iTunes.
So I put it on my iPod. Yeah. Which is the way that nobody likes to do, but
you're a techie.
Yeah, I'm very organizational like that. I like to do it my way.
Yeah.
I like Burger King. Do it your have it your way. Is that Burger King?
It is.
Okay. Have I actually don't I don't like Burger King. I like Wendy's. Come on.
We are sponsored by neither. So,
no.
Get at it. Let's discuss.
All right, listeners. So
hold on, quick plug. Audible.
Oh, yes.
If you use Audible, if you don't use Audible, you could get the free trial, which is 30 days and a free audiobook. Unfortunately, Cursed Child's not on there, but there's a load of books on there, mm-hmm. like 180,000 plus. So you'll be able to find something that you like. We recommend listening to one of the Harry Potter books. Not only are they greatly narrated, but our upcoming book, we're going to be referencing the original 7 books by J.K. Rowling.
Yeah.
Rowling. I always say Rowling. God damn
it. A lot of people do. It's all good.
Rowling. So if you go to, what's the website that they can use for Audible?
It's audibletrial.com/BABAT.
Yay.
And that is where you can go.
Yeah.
So
and we have the link in our show notes.
Yes, indeed. It's on our website. It's all good.
It's all good. So get at that. Get your free trial.
Get your free trial, girl. Get it. Or guy.
Or non-gendered person.
Whoever you are.
Whoever you are.
And you can get an Audible subscription for free. So I think that's pretty cool.
Do it.
And also, I forgot to mention that our episodes are also on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. I upload them to my YouTube channel. So, yeah. It's pretty sweet. Yeah. All right. That was weird, but there you go. All right. So, are we ready to discuss this book?
Let's dive in.
So, this episode is just going to be a very broad discussion of the book.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to be getting too specific like we were getting with the chapter by chapter.
Yes.
This is very broad speaking. We're going to talk about the book as a whole. We're going to have a fun time doing it.
Yay.
I mean, I hope so. Yeah. So, on the website for our About Us sections,
yes,
we have how we judge books.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're going to do is we're going to have a back and forth where we each talk about this book and how it compares to what we expect from a good book.
Yeah.
So do you want to start with your first?
Sure. Yeah. My first criteria is whether or not the book is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Does it encourage me to continue reading? Does it bring new ideas? All that type of stuff. I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
For this, I'm saying yes because it has interesting concepts. Some of them are cliche and overdone, like the whole, like, sisters, like, yin and yang. But the fact that it's vice. That's the word I was looking for.
Gotcha.
Their vice being wanting to, like, gamble and everything like that,
yeah.
I found pretty cool. So I like that. I liked Nevermore in itself. I wish the book was in Nevermore more often than it was, because the first, three quarters of the book, it was just basically a recap of everything. So there was a lot of potential in this book. It didn't keep me reading until shit got real in Nevermore. So I would say interesting. Yes.
Okay.
What do you feel?
I'll agree with you 75%-ish. I say that because I think that, like you said, this book has a ton of potential. Like, the concept for it is very interesting, and I think there's something there that I think could have been expanded on. I think that's why 25% of me is like, if it was there, I think it'd be more.
If it were there, it'd be an actual good book.
But I agree with you, yeah. Like, I think there's so much potential in this book.
Yeah.
I mean, wasted potential in a way, but, you know. So I would agree with you.
Yeah. Good.
Cool.
Am I going to continue on my list, or are we going to go into your
list? Do you want to go back and forth, or do you want to do all your list? Or
should we just knock out my list?
Okay, that's fine.
And then we'll go into yours.
That's cool.
Just so you don't have to... Oh, you do have yours up. Oh, go.
Oh, I got it.
Oh, yeah. Read yours then.
I got it right here, yeah. So my first criteria for a good book is technique. How well is the book written? does the book merely mimic what actual good books do, or does the author actually know what they're doing? So I wrote in here, and I want to be very clear that I actually wrote, does the author actually know what they're doing? I don't think that Jennifer Donnelly doesn't know what she's doing. I think the book is the first draft.
Yeah.
Because if you've read, one of my favorite books is To Kill a Mockingbird.
Mm-hmm.
And have you ever read that new book by Harper Lee?
I have not.
So I have read it. Go Set a Watchman, that's what it's called.
Yeah.
And that book, it's important to know that that book is a first draft of To Kill a Mockingbird.
I was going to say.
And so when I finished reading it, like, obviously I gave it a rating, but I don't even consider a real book because it's a first draft. Like,
yeah.
To Kill a Mockingbird is the final version.
So read it as the final version.
Yeah, like, it's interesting to read Ghost at a Watchman, especially as a writer, because you can see how ideas expand and change.
Yeah, and it's a completely different setting and timeline.
It's
everything. Character development.
For sure. The characters are different. I mean, people were actually upset with the book, and I can't get upset because it's not real to me. It's a draft.
It's a different book.
Yeah, it's... She didn't even give her consent to publish the book. She was... So, you know, it's...
That's what I was going to say. Isn't she dead?
She's dead now. But so she was alive when it happened.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But she was... upset. I don't know if she had dementia. She wasn't upset. I don't even think she really knew about it. I'm not saying that for sure, but
so
I'm pretty...
So upsetting.
Yeah. Poor Harper Lee. But yeah. But my point in saying that is that I don't, you know, the technique in this book is just, I think if it had been given the time of day, I think something could have been better. But unfortunately, the technique with this book is very bad. Lots of, like you were saying, split sentences.
Yeah.
Like chapters that are just not... worthy of being like chapters, like
they don't have any
together.
Weight.
Yeah, there's no weight there. Just certain things that just don't work. They're just not very comprehensive as a whole.
I agree 100% on that.
It's
there was nothing very fun
about
the style in which it was written. There were good images within it. And if you go on Tumblr and you look up, like, a hashtag for Lost in a Book, and people are posting, like, specific sentences from the story, they are good sentences. They are well written, but in the context of, like, as a whole, it misses.
Yeah.
Not the point.
Misses the mark?
Mark, thank you. I couldn't think of the rest of the phrase. It misses the mark.
Yeah, it's just, to me, like, it's the timing. It's just the timing. Mm-hmm. It was very poor. I guess, like we talked about a lot, it was rushed out and not given the time of day to actually...
percolate.
to give the author... To actually
to ferment the idea.
Yeah.
And
oh, that's a nice word, ferment.
Ferment.
Yeah. To just give the author time to actually do her job.
I have to get this off the table. I'm trying to, like,
oh, yeah.
It's making so much noise. I apologize.
No worries. But yeah, that's my tech. I just don't think the technique is good in this book at all. And again, I don't put that in Jennifer Donnelly. I haven't read anything else by her. I just think that there was a very rushed timeline. Mm-hmm. I think that this book was just a forced product of Disney to get a cash grab.
Yeah.
Nothing more. So let's move on to yours then. Your second critique.
Consistent.
Ah.
Does the story have a logical flow and follow the physics of the world or universe? So the physics of it match pretty fine, which is easy for a fantasy novel of this type, because she doesn't have to go into the physics of how death's magic and love's magic work.
Yeah.
So if you take other fantasy novels, they have to go into that, especially if it's an adult book. Mm-hmm. You want to be able to see how the magic works, which is a big gripe for me with Harry Potter.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't know how the magic works. Like, sometimes you have to say words, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you need a wand, sometimes you don't. Sometimes this happens, sometimes that. So there's no logical, like, for how magic works in Harry Potter doesn't make sense to me.
Right.
And my biggest gripe for this book is the timelines.
Yeah.
So the consistency in the timeline is not there. Yeah. And this is where I have most of my notes, and this is where I'm going to pick it apart. Because we talked about it several times. We don't know when this was written. What time in France this is supposed to take place.
Right.
We know it's after the plague. That's it, because if it's an extension of the movie, we know that Belle's mother died from the Black Plague.
Oh, man, she's got the notes!
I sat down, and I was like, I need to figure this out. So, using context clues, the battles at Cogsworth talks about ice skating, like when it was brought to France. These are just the things that I pulled. The Black Plague, the original setting of Beauty and the Beast, when hot chocolate was invented. Same with cod liver oil. I pulled all of that and I figured shit out.
Oh my gosh, this is amazing.
So, the original book was meant to be set in the mid-1700s.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So that is, I don't know what century that is. That is,
I always get that confused. So
the mid-1700s is the 18th century.
Yes.
Okay. So ice skating was invented in the 13th and 14th century and is used mostly for transportation. Okay.
Yeah.
In 1572, that's when the bone blade of skates was replaced with metal. So we're still jiving pretty well.
Okay.
In the 17th century, the 1600s, it was brought to Britain from the Netherlands. So it's still okay for this book. Like,
okay.
And it was popularized as a sport in 1610 by Emperor Rudolf II.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. So he like built a huge ice skating ring. Mm-hmm. And like there was the first ice skating like clubs, and like in order to get into the club you had to hop over a hat, and like it was very, very silly.
Interesting.
So them ice skating in this timeline makes sense.
Okay.
The Black Plague went from 1347 to 1750, hitting France in 1720. Okay. So theoretically, even if it's at the later end of the Black Plague, Belle's mother should die, let's say, the last year of the most deaths of the plague, which was in 1750. Okay. So this all makes sense so far in relation to the original setting of Beauty and the Beast. So was hot chocolate. Hot chocolate was a luxury item around 1600. Still consistent. Cod liver oil. This is where things get a little bit dicey. Well, no, actually, no. This is still consistent as well. Cod liver oil was used as early as 1738. Okay? And it was widely used in 1789. That's when physicians started using it.
Okay.
Yeah. So now we're getting pretty close to the 1800s. Mm-hmm. All right. 50 years after the Black Plague was eradicated. So the Black Plague ended in 1750. It was widely used in 1789.
Okay.
So that's 39 years.
Yeah.
After the Black Plague is when it started being used widely, cod liver oil. So we're looking up the dates of all of Cogsworth's battles. July 26th, 1757, November 20th, 1759, July 15th and 16th, 1761, December 31st, 1775, September 19th, 1799.
Damn.
That is 42 years Cogsworth was in the military. That's a long time.
Yeah.
So say he got out after the last battle in 1799, mm-hmm. you know, and then he went right into being Beast's servant, like right in, like maybe 6 months pass, a year passes.
Yeah.
Let's say in 1800.
Yeah.
He is in the castle.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Then he turns into a clock.
Mm-hmm.
He's been a clock for 10 years. So the book must take place at the earliest 1810.
Ah.
Okay. So if it takes place at the earliest 1810, so the Black Plague already went through, they have cod liver oil. There was hot chocolate. They skate regularly, All that stuff checks out perfectly fine. But if it takes place in 1810/1850, That means Belle's mother did not die of the Black Plague.
Okay, yeah.
So how the fuck did she die?
Yeah.
And they contradict themselves, too, because the one quote Lemire said, oh, the author knows it's taking place in 1810. I want to point that out.
Okay.
Because when Beast gets sick, Lemire goes, oh, the Black Plague, the one that happened 100 years ago.
Ah, yeah.
So they know it. So unless Belle was 100 and some years old, you know. So I also wrote, so assuming that Cogsworth was 14 when he joined the military, went through all of these battles, survived like a ton of shit that was going on. He went to Canada and fought in Quebec. He was there during the French Revolution, like all this type of stuff. His last battle would have been when he was 56 years old. And the average life expectancy for male around that time was 25 to 30 years of age.
Oh.
So not only did he survive all of that, he also survived like all this like junk happening, sicknesses and diseases. He survived every battle and he surpassed the life expectancy by 26 years. That is a long time.
I love that you did all this research. That is amazing.
I'm exhausted.
I'd be exhausted too. That's
so either Belle's mom didn't die of the plague, and then we don't know how she died. Maybe Maurice killed her.
Yeah.
I don't know. So that's my biggest issue when it comes to the timeline of the book in relation to the movie.
Okay.
So they do not, it is not consistent.
Very interesting. I love all the research you put into that. Like, that was professional level. That was amazing.
Thank you.
No, that's really interesting, actually. That the fact that you did all that research is amazing to me. Did you highlight some of that stuff as you were reading, and then you went back to find the dates or the battles that he said?
I went back to find the battles, which is cool with the Kindle app. All I did was hit search battle.
Okay, cool.
And it's like the battle of this, the battle of that, the battle of this.
I was going to say.
There you go. Makes it a lot easier for me.
Yeah, because I was sitting here and I'm like, how did she do that? Like, but right, you have the Kindle version. That's awesome.
Yeah, so
take a deep breath.
So that does not pass my consistent check.
Fair enough. I mean, that's very fair.
Well, it's consistent in her timeline, in her book.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Not in the greater scheme of what it's supposed to relate to.
Right.
But they never said in the book how Belle's mom died.
I was just about to ask that question.
So.
And again, that's almost relying on
the movie.
Right. Yeah. Which, I guess her mom doesn't really play a big part, but considering that this is based off the 2017 movie that made such a huge emphasis on the fact that Maurice just couldn't bear to tell his daughter that her mom died from the plague.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't find out until however old she is. And he's like, I just couldn't tell you. I thought you wouldn't understand. And she's like, I understand now, Papa. And I'm like, you wouldn't understand? Like, that your mom died from the plague? Like,
that's why she wouldn't understand, because the plague was 100 years ago.
True.
Boom.
There's a conspiracy going on here. I do not like it. There is trickery. Mm.
For some reason. Oh, I also wrote that the average life expectancy, the first time men, like the average life expectancy from men was 56, was in 1940.
Oh, in France. Jeez.
Just so you know. But also, I have here a note that Belle had to have been born in 1792. I don't know why I wrote that. And I could probably backtrack my math, but I don't feel like it.
Yeah, yeah.
So that 1792 is 42 years after the plague. So if she's having birth, her mom's being born in 17. Oh, that's why I wrote.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Her mom had to, if she's, no, okay, I don't know why I wrote that, but she would have been like 49 when she had Belle.
Okay, which is like so inaccurate for the time, because, yeah, and very interesting. Oh, thank you, Brittany.
You're welcome.
That was amazing. You just reminded me, it has nothing to do with consistency, but I wanted to bring it up just because it's, It is kind of cool. I'll give him that. So, you know how her village is called? I guess it's Villa Nueve. I think that's how you say it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I was looking into the original Beauty and the Beast story because I don't know why I was, but I have a copy of it, but it's very short. And so I always thought, like, this just seems too short. Like, it's a very thin, almost like a pamphlet. It's so short.
Like the original Disney version? Or no, the original, very original French version?
The original French version, who I initially thought was written by Jean LaPrince de Beaumont.
Okay.
But apparently she, I guess, what's it called when you shorten? What's it called? There's a word for it. Abridged version. It's basically an abridged version.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if technically that's what she did, but that's, you know, if you want to give it a name, that's what it is. But it was originally written in a longer version, which I have bought and I will be reading soon, by Gabrielle Suzanne de Villeneuve.
Ooh, that's nice. That shows a lot of research.
Yeah, so they paid homage to the author, original author.
Good job, Domily.
Yeah. So, well, it wasn't her, though. It was it was actually the author is named Stephen Chbosky. I'm sure you can't give it all the credit to him. He wrote the script for the movie, but the creators,
good.
I can applaud them for that, because that's pretty cool. Because I always wondered why they got that title.
Yeah.
And now I know, and I thought that was very, I won't say insightful, because like if you just do your research, which I didn't do, then you can figure it out. But like, it didn't take me long to look it up, and I looked and I was like, oh. That's cool.
Yeah.
So
neat.
Good on you.
Good
so
on
I just
you.
Wanted to bring that up real quick before
Miss
I forgot.
Anya.
Yes. All right. Cool. All right. So my next one is challenge. Does the book reach a deeper level that transcends the pages? For me, this is important because as a reader, I know this is a very personal reason.
Mm-hmm.
I find that as I got older, books very much spoke to me because they reached a deeper truth that can't really be found anywhere but in fictional stories.
Okay.
And these books that, when I saw this, they would challenge me to think, like, let's put it this way. I grew up a very conservative Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And books really pushed me to think outside of that bubble.
Yeah.
And pushed me to just think differently about the world. And I would not be the same person today if it weren't for books.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the best books are the ones that challenge us. Yeah, that stay with you, that really kind of clash with what you think you believe. And even if you don't agree with it, at least make you think.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that every book needs to do that. But for me personally, that's what I would like to see in a book. That's what brings me to say, if that book didn't do something to make me think, I don't think it's a good book. I might like it, but I don't think it's a good book. Like, I would give it a lower rating.
So where does this fall on that?
Well, it doesn't really challenge you at all.
No.
And I guess, like, again, there's excuse. Oh, it's a kid's book, but that's not a good excuse. One of my favorite books is Bridge to Terabithia. I think that's an incredibly
challenging book. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very challenging book. Even children's, like illustrated books, I think, can be challenging.
Mm-hmm.
So I disagree with that statement that because it's for kids doesn't mean it can be challenging.
Correct.
Especially, and we'll get into that more once we get in our recommendations, but there are books out there for kids that challenge them. We'll Bridge to Terabithia. So for me, this book just
fell short.
Yeah, it just didn't offer anything new.
Yeah, there was nothing like philosophical to think about when it came to it.
Yeah.
It was just a quick read.
Which is interesting because I feel like with the whole love and death thing, I almost feel like this book called to be philosophical.
Oh my God, it would have been so, like, it could have been very philosophical.
Yeah, and it just didn't offer anything. It just was very shallow in its approach to these things. And I think that kids are impressionable.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about, oh, kids shouldn't play violent video games. Personally, I advocate that kids should not read bad books. And I'm like, I say it sarcastically, but I also say it literally.
Yeah.
Like, kids, like, these little things have effects on them.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they're perceiving the world is through the media sometimes that they encounter. It's not always true, but, like, if they're seeing the world in a shallow way, they might come to view the world in a shallow way.
Mm-hmm.
Not always. You can't really blame that on media, necessarily.
Yeah.
But I think it does have a big impact at the end of the day. So
I'm not going to touch that.
That's fine. Because we don't need to get into that. But I don't even know if I'm exactly talking about it that way. But I'm just saying that when you read a shallow book, like for me personally, I tend to think of the world a little more shallow when I read a shallow mm-hmm. book versus when I read a book that has a lot of depth in it. Suddenly I see the forest for the trees, if that's a way of thinking about it. Like, and maybe that's because I'm a very impressionable person sometimes. But not everybody's like that. So just depends. Yeah. But yeah, that's one of my criteria. I don't know. What do you think?
There was nothing to it. I liked how it could have been deeper. Yeah. When it used like the stories of the lion and the gladiator, and it talked about Persephone. Yes. Yeah. Death, Hades' wife. Mm. And stuff like that. It got interesting. That stuff piqued my interest.
Yeah.
I love Otto. so it could... The potential is there, but I can't judge it on potential because we're judging the book in itself. So no, there is no depth to it. So it doesn't meet that criteria for me.
And I forgot about what you just said about the Greek stuff. Like, mm-hmm.
There's a lot of that.
Yeah.
Good stuff in it.
Yeah, it's just yeah.
Yeah.
The best way to say it, yeah. All right. What's your next one?
Relatable characters. Mm-hmm. How developed are the characters and do they add depth to the story? The only one
I know
that I like is Otto.
You know, I can't disagree with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't disagree.
Otto's the only character that anything relatable happened, because my heart, when the butterfly comes to him and Belle like makes a butterfly fly away and he turns around and he's like, it was just about to tell me what it's like to fly. Like, he's relating to a butterfly and he relates to everything and everyone around him, and he sacrifices himself to save Belle. Like, Otto is king.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way to say it.
Otto is our king. Nice.
Yeah.
He always lets the quaffle in.
Yep.
Otto is our king.
And let me just say, like, I don't like Otto as a device, but as a character.
Yeah.
Like, what you just said about the butterfly, that's actually a very tender moment. Mm-hmm. Very soft, very unlike this book, actually. It's very beautiful. Think about
it. He is a beautiful character.
Yeah, and it's a shame that he is kind of relegated to just these last few chapters.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you would get around that, but...
Having the whole thing based in Nevermore.
That's how
you would get around it, because you will see how death forces Otto to be all these personas he doesn't want to be.
Right.
All he wants to do is live life.
Right.
He's Ariel.
Ariel. Yeah, he wants more.
He wants to know...
to be where the people are.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking when I said that. And so... No other character adds depth to the story. Let's talk about the ones that you could throw away. Throw away all of the servants in the castle.
Yeah,
none of them add any depth to the story.
Hey, they make her toasted cheese sandwiches.
Oh, arguably, Chip is the only one that has depth.
Right.
Because he acts as the voice of reason.
Right. Which is insane because he's a child.
A child.
Yeah. But, yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
So, no, that's fine. Love, throw her away.
Mm-hmm.
She had nothing except for giving her a pair of scissors. And this only thing that the scissors do, cut a heart out for Otto, our main person that we love. Beast, throw him away. Mm-hmm. He adds nothing.
Yeah.
Henry, a little bit. Death, the whole thing censors on her, so you can't throw her away.
Yeah.
Muchard, throw him away. He adds nothing. So, no, nothing. Most of the characters they're not relatable, and most of them don't add depth.
Mm. I agree with you. It's, obviously characters have to have a life of their own, mm-hmm. but they also should, a book has to have a plot and a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't find a way to weave that in, then the best tip is just to abandon it.
Yeah.
And I know that's hard as a writer to mm-hmm. get rid of something, especially, well, we'll talk about this later, but just the fact that this book has, unfortunately, has some bricks in the backpack to carry, because it's such a beloved story, at least in the Disney sense and the American ideal of what a fairy tale is, that to get rid of these characters that are useless could not, it wouldn't work.
No, because it, like, this is Beauty and the Beast.
Right.
Well, if it's Beauty and the Beast, where's Mrs. Potts?
Right. And people aren't seeing it. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you and I are right now, we're getting very philosophical about it and we're talking about it in more depth. People always don't, they don't always see it that way.
Yeah.
They come to a book and they want to see those characters they love. And that doesn't make it a good book. It just makes it, I saw Beauty and the Beast in the theater. I've seen the Disney remakes. Mm-hmm. You know, it's fun to see those things, no matter how bad they are. Sorry. But, and I'm just going to say real quick, mine, I also have characters on here, so I'm just going to build off of you.
Yeah.
My thing is, like, do the characters feel alive and three-dimensional? And no.
No.
I don't think... I mean, Otto, arguably, but I don't think he gets enough time. Mm-hmm. But we care about him.
Yeah.
But, like...
Henry can also... What was it? Three-dimensional.
Yeah.
Henry can also be kind of three-dimensional.
Yeah.
But not by much.
No.
Not like Otto.
Even, like, the you can kind of look at the Beast, but I don't think the Beast is really given the time of day.
I don't think he's three-dimensional at all.
Yeah.
Every time the Beast is involved, it's cartoonish.
Yes, exactly. It's very cartoonish. Mm-hmm. Just, I think that a lot of the characters are relegated to a specific emotion or a characterization. So, like, Cogsworth is...
How interesting that would be to have one of them just always be in that emotion.
Right.
So Cogsworth,
well, which
is,
they kind of are. Yeah. Like, Cogsworth's always the one who
frets.
Yeah, he's always fretting about things. Mrs. Potts is always the motherly type.
Mm-hmm.
Belle is the whiny freaking brat. the Beast is like,
she's not supposed to be, though.
No, she's not. Even, like, I don't have the book cover down here, but I was reading it today, the synopsis.
Yeah.
And it starts out with smart, bookish Belle. And that's not what Belle comes off as in this book. And no. I think when you have a character who's leading the story, I think our attachment to her comes from what we know of Belle already, not from this book.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a shame. Because, I've said this many times, I love Belle in the and I say 1991 version just because it's very different from the new one, from Emma Watson's Belle. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. I personally like the 1991, but it's not a bad thing, Belle, Emma Watson's Belle. Just different.
Just different.
And this Belle is also very different and dumb.
Yeah, this Belle's dumb.
Yeah.
She's a dumb.
Yeah, she's a dumb.
She's a lollipop.
She's a lollipop.
Dum-dum. Get it?
I see what you did.
She does. She likes to do the Tootsie Roll.
She does.
And the electric slide. And the Jack.
Oh, slide. Belle. She's a wacky one. Yeah, it's just, like I said, just the characters are flat. They don't have much to offer.
Mm-hmm.
And even when it comes to death, death is just this silly villain that, or maybe silly is the wrong word. I don't feel very threatened. I never felt a sense that Belle would not get out of there.
Yeah.
Like, I never felt tension. Yeah, because you read this book and you know what the outcome's going to be. Mm-hmm. She's going to escape. Like, it's just...
how it has to happen.
Yeah, exactly. And that's fine. I get that. It's just that the characters, like, you can still make interesting characters with a predictable story. Like...
Correct.
Belle is not... challenged in here. Everything's done for her.
Mm-hmm.
The characters don't have anything to... Our main characters don't have much to do.
Mm-hmm.
And when they do, it's very few and far between. So since I said characters as well, do you want to go to your next one?
Sure. Coherent. Does everything in the writing... That's funny. This is a really bad sentence. I had to edit this. Does everything in the writing should make sense? That's
what... Oh, really? Is that on the website? Oh, no, I'm sorry.
It's not your fault.
I know, but I should have fixed it. I didn't realize.
Yeah. Mm. Does everything in the writing make sense? No.
No.
It goes back to it being, like, coherent. I separated them because when I read fantasy, I look for the physics of the world. So the physics of this world makes sense, and I guess my timeline should have gone in the coherent section. But there's also little things that doesn't make much sense to me either. Like, we don't know how big these fucking bugs are.
Yeah.
And the space of 30 yards or 30 feet, 10 yards, and how quickly she moved and need to lunge at Belle, and how Belle's like speaking to everyone. And even the things that we talked about the one time when we first meet King Otto and the harpsichordist winks at Death. There's no clear indication that it's Henry. I still think it's Henry. You don't think it's Henry, the harpsichordist. Mm-hmm. But so it doesn't, there's not a lot of sense to some parts. Like, why do they only eat toasted cheese sandwiches? Mm. And like, how big were the message in the seeds to show Beast, like, hey, hope you feel well, exclamation point. And how quick did they do that? And why are there so many birds? It's winter. And
right,
how come they can hear Cogsworth and Lemire, but they can't hear them? And so the writing doesn't make sense.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree with you on that. Especially like what you were saying about point of views.
Mm-hmm.
And like, what point of view is it in? It's, I mean, for the most part, it's Belle's. But then we get these weird side things where suddenly we get Death's perspective or a look at Death and Love together in the prologue and epilogue.
Mm-hmm.
Or we get the servants discussing, you know, the Belle and the Beast. Or we get parts from Nevermore while also the people in the castle are trying to find Belle.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and the timing of that is all wrong.
Yes. I was just about to say the whole thing of like, how long does it take her to get to that summer house?
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just, and even it says when she's escaping, like it took her hours.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, how long?
Yeah, I think we came to like, she was in there for like 12 hours.
Yes.
Something like that.
It seems like a long time.
And like that, for back at the castle, it's only in the span of max 6.
Right, yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, it's interesting.
So, it doesn't make sense.
No.
No.
It's fair enough, fair enough. So, my next thing is originality. Does the book do something new and interesting? Which I guess we've kind of touched on a little bit.
Yeah.
In
my first point, yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
yes and no, I would say.
Yeah, I should have brought that up earlier, right after yours, but
that's
so
fine.
We won't rehash it too much. But I guess already said yes and no. There's definitely potential, but it just doesn't take it far enough. The creativity is just not there. And again, I don't put that on Jennifer Donnelly. I put a lot of that on Disney because I feel pretty confident saying that Disney plotted this out and said, hey, you write this.
Yeah.
And
I can agree with you on that.
Yeah, it's So, especially just because it had to make sense, kind of, with the new movie, which technically, if you really get down to it, it doesn't. But you know, it's fine. We don't need to go that deep. But the originality. I'll give it credit for trying to do something.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't take it far enough to actually be worthy of calling it original.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, I agree. Especially if it's a spinoff of a story of a story of a story of a story.
Yeah.
So the originality, it can't really hold it. It can't be too original because it's a spinoff of a spinoff.
It's limited.
Of a spinoff.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a shame, actually, because the fact that it is a spinoff is what limits it.
Yeah.
Like, if this was, like, what you said about how if it took place in Nevermore, that would be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Because then, especially, like, if it was separate from what's happening in the castle.
Yeah.
Because what ends up happening is that Belle and the Beast's character arc, after she's saved from the wolves, is that they start to get to know each other.
Mm-hmm.
They see a different side of one another. So the fact that Belle is reacting this way to him just doesn't make sense to her character. And because of that, like, we're spending so much time in the castle and her interactions with the Beast that the book's very confused about the fact that this should be about Nevermore.
Mm-hmm.
Make it separate from the Beast. Like, if she's having an internal conflict, that's great.
Yeah.
Have it be separate.
I think what we said before would have been a lot better.
Yeah.
Like, she goes into Nevermore and comes out a different person, yes, quote unquote, yeah, and no time has passed.
Yes, I agree. Oh, man, that
but,
would be so good.
Yeah, the thing is, though, as it is written currently now, it doesn't have...
No.
It doesn't have the originality.
Well, and even, like, when she gets out, like, I think it's weird that, like, the Beast... I feel like that would just be such a huge scar, and the fact that she went to another realm to escape, like, yeah, that changes everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think the book is... It doesn't have the creativity to explore that. But I don't think it should explore it in the first place because it messes with the timeline.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Eh. I don't know. But anyway. Okay. What's your last one?
My last one is sustainable. Ah, does this story hold up? Will I read it again? No. if anyone will like, oh, well, I can't. I don't have a physical copy. So I can't throw it away. I can't even offer it to anyone. I will not touch this story again. Even if I have children one day, this is not something I would read to them.
Yeah.
So, it is not sustainable.
No. I agree with you. I was even thinking about, like, what will I do with this book? Will I sell it? Will I give it away?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to give it. I mean, because it looks pretty. It looks new. Like, I haven't.
Oh, yeah.
Really,
you haven't, like, touched it.
Yeah. Like, I haven't written it or
throw
anything.
Throw it up on paperback swap. Somebody's going to want it.
I was going to say, I probably will. Because at this point, I think the book, in the beginning, it probably would have sold really well. But at this point, like, people are kind of done with it. Like, Beauty and the Beast hype has died down. Very much so. So I don't think, like, paperback swap is probably the way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I agree with you.
Nope. Yeah. Sad.
It is sad. It is. You know. Oh, well.
What's your last point, my dear?
So my last one I just wrote is dialogue. Do the characters sound like real people?
No. You, like, I know you wrote this criteria a long time ago, but it feels like you wrote it for this book.
It kind of does, actually. It's weird. But, yeah, the dialogue's awful.
It's so bad.
Yeah.
Poor Cogsworth. I'm just going to say that again.
I know.
Like, his, it's all, we talked about, I forgot about our own criteria while we were
so
reading
did I.
This book.
So did I.
So it's interesting that that's one of your criteria, because we talk about the dialogue constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And how it's clunky and doesn't make much sense and it's forced and... just it's not how people talk.
No. Yeah. And I guess, like, arguably, like, a lot of books are like that, but again, like, just like, and we've talked about this obviously, like, the disconnect between the characters and what they say to one another, it doesn't always make sense. The fact that it's trying to be smart by saying toasted cheese sandwiches, what was the phrase that Tanya
that's what they call it there, though.
Well, no, Tanya said in France. Oh, in France. I forget what she said.
And that's another thing that's inconsistent, though. Like, they're swapping French and English together.
Franglish.
Franglish. This is Spanglish.
Yeah.
I hate you.
You're welcome.
But, like a chateau, and then they say castle, and then...
Right.
So, it's not consistent.
Yeah, so it's stuff like
but
that.
But I don't know what she's the French was. It's a specific thing.
Yeah. And, yeah, it's just, it was just very clunky all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Just not my favorite thing in the world.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So, what would you give this book on our, what is our criteria?
So, our criteria, do you want me to read
it? I mean,
it?
Our rating. Yeah, go ahead. Right.
So, the way we rate this book is we're not giving it a literal rating. We're giving it a rating in the context of Twilight. Mm-hmm. Is this book as bad as Twilight? So, 1 star, which is the lowest one, is hot garbage. It's really bad, so much worse than Twilight. Oh, God, it's awful. 2 stars is lukewarm garbage.
Mm-hmm.
Just okay. Or no, not just okay. It's still really bad.
It's pretty bad.
3 is as bad as Twilight. So it'll be on par with Twilight.
Yeah, which is okay.
Yeah.
In, like, normal standards.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. 4 stars is brain candy. Mm-hmm. So it's better than Twilight. It does something kind of interesting, but ultimately still kind of fluff.
Yeah, fluff. That's a good word for it. Fluff.
And then finally, 5 stars is, it's okay.
Yeah, something you'd read in, like, school and talk about potential, like, philosophies of things. Mm-hmm. It's okay.
Yeah, just okay.
Yeah.
So, what is your rating of this book?
3. Bad as Twilight. And my reasoning being, Twilight has some good points. Parts of it, which I really like, like when she talks about the lore of werewolves and how the imprinting process goes, and just taking a whole different idea of how vampires sparkle. I think it's silly, but it's different. It's creative. Mm-hmm. And I think that the writing was better than this book. She had a lot more time to write it, I feel.
Yeah.
And also the fact, I didn't like the characters. I didn't like the ending. I didn't like a lot of, a lot of the story, the actual story. And that's what I feel about this book. This book has similar but different problems. I liked Nevermore, and I wish we were there. I liked the characters. I wish they were developed. I didn't like the writing. I didn't like how it was rushed. I didn't like that type of stuff. So they are like two sides of the same coin. Mm-hmm. And that's why I say it's three. It's as bad as Twilight. It doesn't have the weight that Twilight does. Obviously, it's much smaller. But it has just as much potential as Twilight did. So that's my voting.
Okay. So I agree with you.
Oh, yeah.
I also gave it 3 stars, as bad as Twilight.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with basically everything you just said. I'll say that, like Twilight, it's paced very similar to Twilight, meaning that mm-hmm. it starts off extremely slow, and then it kind of starts getting more interesting, and then the end, it's just like very rushed.
And disappointing.
Yeah. And let me be specific, because I know I said this last time, and it wasn't very clear. I'm talking about the very first book.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I mean, obviously, the end of Twilight, the saga, is very disappointing. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily disappointing in the first book, but it's just, it's very rushed.
Yeah.
And it kind of, all of a sudden, it's like, oh, wow, this is actually serious. Like, this mm-hmm. is, like, it's just much more adrenaline rush. And then it just kind of ends.
Yeah.
And same with the series. Like, it's just kind of over. And mm-hmm. that's it.
I hated the last book of that series.
I know. It's
like
awful.
The whole, like, him going to Italy and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I
That was in the second book.
Oh, was it in the second book? Oh.
Maybe he goes again, but I actually...
Oh, it wasn't. It was in the second book, wasn't it?
Because in the fourth, that's when Renesmee is born. That whole thing happens.
I forgot there's 4 of them. I thought there were only 3.
No, Brittany, there is 4. So, you know, I think the third one's very forgettable. So, maybe, I don't know, that's why.
Maybe. I haven't read them in a while. Maybe I just remember that I was very disappointed.
Yeah, it's...
I have to read them again, maybe. We'll see.
I've debated reading them again, but honestly,
Do you have all 4 of them still?
No.
I gave them all away.
I might have New Moon, but if I do, I don't know where it is. Yeah. I think I sold most of my copies. You know? Okay.
Most of your copies? How many times did you buy this?
Well, that's what I'm going to tell you. I have an embarrassing story. So, after Twilight, when I read that, it was like, obviously, it was so huge. Everybody mm-hmm. was reading it. And so, I was reading New Moon. I don't know why, but when I was reading, I must have been in the car, and I put it in the glove compartment of my dad's van. So, I forgot. So, one day I was at school, and I went to go grab it from my backpack, and it was missing. And there have been times at school where I had keychains and stuff, and people would steal the keychains, like, off my backpack.
That's rude.
It is rude. Like, so I was like, damn, like, so maybe somebody actually, because sometimes I'd leave my bag open, so I was like, maybe somebody reached in and took my book, and I thought, not out of the realm of possibilities,
yeah,
because I could not find it. So I was so, like, in a tizzy that I bought another copy of New Moon, mm-hmm. and then I ended up finding my other copy in the glove compartment, so I had 2 copies of it, so,
yeah,
there you go.
Okay, I thought you had, like, maybe, like, three copies of each one.
No. I didn't get, like, I've
done that with Harry Potter. I've had multiple copies.
I actually had to get rid of some of my copies of Harry Potter. It was hard for me.
They're rough.
Yeah, just because, not because they're rough, just because, like, I used to have the paperbacks. Whenever mm-hmm. I reread the books, I would read from the paperbacks. But then the hardcovers, I left completely intact. I gave a lot of the hardcovers I had to rebuy. What I ended up doing is I ended up selling all the copies that were not original to me. So, like, the second book is original to me, third, fifth, sixth, and seventh. The first and the fourth are not original to me, which I wish I would have kept the fourth copy, because my copy is different than the one I had.
It?
Like, the fourth, like, the hardcover books are all the same size. The one I had was not. It was smaller. And I wish I did not sell it, because that could have been potentially rare and worth something. I don't even know where. I got it from my aunt. She gave it to me for as a Christmas present. 2001 okay. for Christmas. Nice. So there you go. And yeah, I don't know where she got it from. That it was that small. Because huh. I've never seen it. Because I remember I measured it up. I took it. I had it with me one time. And another person had the copy. And I'm like, why is mine so, small?
Yeah.
So it's interesting. But yeah. So I would say definitely as it's as bad as Twilight. Like it, but yeah, it's just fine. I mean, I gave it 1 star on Goodreads. But yeah. In the context of this, it's as bad as Twilight.
Yeah.
Because they're, like you said, Twilight has potential.
Mm-hmm.
It's just...
And she was creative in aspects of it.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much real lore is in it. Like, there's a lot of real lore in this book, which I appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, the war between werewolves and vampires, everyone knows that. But, like, the imprinting process, that's interesting. Like, I don't know if that's real.
Well, yeah.
So... I don't know.
Well, I was going to say, too, and bringing up the reason we started this podcast was when I watched the video from Lindsay Ellis where she's talking about people kind of hating on young adult literature specifically written for young girls.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, why is it automatically said that vampire sparkling is a bad thing? I mean, let's be honest, it's kind of silly.
It's silly.
But... it's no more silly than some of the things that you read in fantasy fiction.
Yeah.
I mean, fantasy fiction can be super dumb and silly sometimes. People give her a hard time when people have been doing that crap for years.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it's definitely something to explore later with the books we read, especially thinking about the target audience.
I think the fact that she described it as sparkling and glittery.
Yeah.
I think that's what triggered it, because if it were... I don't know a different descriptor, because that's what's been put in my head for it. Radiant, I would say.
Yeah.
They radiate or they glow. I think that would take it out of it being silly and childish.
Yeah.
Because now it puts them into a realm that's kind of godlike.
Yeah.
Because... people will see this figure and it be a radiant being,
mm-hmm.
which is to me more striking and might hold more historical and lore value than someone sparkling.
Yeah, exactly.
So
I guess, yeah, I agree with you. I think it's just like crazy how people like just freaked out about it.
Oh yeah.
Like there's just,
because
so...
it goes against the norm.
Yeah. It's just so, the hate is so visceral for Twilight.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I've been on the bandwagon before, you know, I don't like Twilight.
I think it's dumb.
Yes, it's very dumb. But I think for me, I understand where Lindsay Ellis is coming from, just because people like just got so upset about it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many books that they let pass for doing stupid shit.
Yeah.
And that's why on our list was Ready Player One, like, and just Cursed Child, stuff like that just seems to get free passes.
Oh, God.
Which, and we'll explore that with Cursed Child. That'll be interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know if it gets free passes.
It does.
I mean, it does.
There are so many people who love Cursed Child.
That makes
Child.
Me so sad and mad and confused.
Well,
sad, mad, confused.
Which, please, they talk about it. And they,
oh, dude, they haven't gotten
love
it.
It.
What?
They love
no.
it.
No.
Yeah.
No. Oh, my God.
I know.
No.
Listen to that episode.
I haven't been listening
to
the podcast because
I've
been listening to the Game of Thrones audiobook.
Mm-hmm.
So I've just finished it and I'm going to start listening. I'm going to get back into it. Oh, no.
They thought it. I forget what their arguments were.
No.
But I was very disappointed.
All right. I'm disappointed.
And it's funny because that's their genre. Like,
right.
They have their PhDs, right?
Yeah, I think
in
so.
In literature. And stuff like that.
Oh, that makes... okay.
So.
Well.
I don't know. Just the noob here. Excuse me. So.
All right. So. We're each going to recommend a book now that you should read besides this book. Because we don't think that... there are plenty of books that do something interesting that are in the same genre as this book. Or they do something similar that are better than this book. And so we would like to recommend those to you now. We're each going to have one title... do you want me to start or do you want to start?
You go, because I'm going to, like, do you think we should read the synopsis of these books as well?
I guess we could. I wasn't going to, but I could bring
I'm going to.
Okay, let me see.
You don't have to.
Let me bring it up. I'll bring it up. Each of us is going to go into why we think that this book is related to this book and why we think that it is better. And we definitely recommend that you should read both of these titles that we recommend to you. So the one I'm going to recommend is not a specific book. It's actually quite a number of them. It's mm-hmm. a series. And that is the American Girl books. Now, what I can speak to is the only series that I've read in that, which is the Kit books.
Okay.
Kit being American Girl doll. The reason I'm recommending this is because they are in the same age range as somebody mm-hmm. who would pick up this book. Somebody who picks up this book, I feel like, with Lost in a Book, they're picking it up for their daughters, who, especially in this day and age, they're trying to empower them,
yeah.
give them good role models. Something that's also similar between American Girl and this one with Disney books is that they're very commercialized. They're, mm-hmm. these books are not being published for literary merit. They're being published for, you know, to advertise a product, which is a movie yeah. or a doll.
Huh.
However, I can't tell you how surprised I was when I returned to the Kit books as an adult. Because I only read the one when I was a child, and I liked mm-hmm. them, you know, but I never really went further than the first book.
Yeah.
And I honestly came to these books almost very cynical, like, oh, these are going to be trash. They're just going to
kind of awful. How we approached this one.
Kind of, yeah. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how surprised I was to read this book and actually see that the author, her name's Valerie Tripp,
mm-hmm.
she developed the character of Kit so well. What's cool about the American Girl books is that they each take place during a different period of time.
Okay.
So with Kit's, it's the Great Depression. So it has her, what I loved is that it doesn't box her in like a lot of media will do to little girls.
LOL, because she probably comes in a box. As a doll.
Yep, box.
Yeah.
Funny. You got this. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, but it's cool because like as I was reading, I saw like that the author did not limit Kit to certain expectations. She did things that were very against the norms of her gender. And when she did these things, her parents didn't talk down to her mm-hmm. or the characters didn't look at her poorly and say, well, you shouldn't do this because you're a girl.
Yeah.
But they were able to make it relevant to the time period and how people would react, but also make it empowering to a young girl who maybe comes to this book and relates to Kit. You know, Kit loves to write. She wants to be a journalist. So she's writing about the things that are happening. She's put in many different challenging situations to learn. I mean, each book, there's 6 books in every series, if you're familiar with that.
Not at all. I've
okay.
never read anything like this.
So the first books in the series always meet, and then the character name. So meet Kit, meet Samantha, meet Molly. The second one is Kit Learns a Lesson. Third is Kit's Surprise, which always takes place at Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait. Surprise, I don't know. I'll have to look into that. The next one is like a birthday one, I believe, where they have like a birthday party. Then Kit saves the day and changes for Kit. So okay. it's like, but every, you know, girl's mm-hmm. name. And it always is something different. And by the end of it, they are different characters. They've grown.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, and it's fantastic. I'm about to read the Molly series, which I've never read before. And it's written by the same author. And I would recommend Kit because I've read it, but just from what I know, I did read Samantha as a child. They're very empowering books for young girls. They're a little smaller in this book, but they are in the same age range. I'd say mm-hmm. like 8 to 12 can read them. And they let girls see themselves in the characters without limiting them.
Mm-hmm.
And it also teaches history, which is great because I think a lot of young girls' books expect them to not want to read about that.
Yeah.
And it really...
I didn't want to read history at all when I was a kid.
Well, I think every girl's different. Like, I didn't, but at the same time, when I got... At the end of the book, they have little sections where they have pictures from the time period, and they have, you know, why Kit
Oh, you
did.
Remember a lot of stuff that...
well, I have, you know, I own the one book, but...
Yeah.
I mean, they're not long. They're like 50 pages.
Oh, yeah. But still.
But yeah, they have like sections at the end where they actually talk about the things that happened in this book in mm-hmm. real life. So they're able to say to kids, hey, this happened, but this actually, like in the book, but this actually happened in real life.
Yeah.
And this is where it comes from. So it's not underestimating the kids' desire to learn. Mm-hmm. They don't have to read that part, but if they want to, they can.
It's available. Yeah.
So I would recommend the American Girl books, specifically the Kit books, because, like I said, I've read them. They're excellent. But just from what I've heard about them and know about them, Valerie Tripp does write quite a few of them. Mm-hmm. So, and they're not like the best books in the world, like, but they're well written for what they are. And I think they're just very good. They surprised me.
Good.
Yeah. So that was a long-winded explanation, but
mine's not going to be nearly as long. It's okay.
All right. What is your recommendation?
Mine is The Beastly Arms.
Okay.
So I'm just going to read the description because I read this when I was around 10, 11 years old, which is appropriate for the same as Lost in a Book. Like, that's the age range for mm-hmm. young adults. So the description is, it's an accessible middle grade novel from a popular author, Patrick Jennings. And he has written quite a few books.
Okay.
11-year-old Nickel, I love that name, Nickel, moves with his mother into a mysterious apartment building called the Beastly Arms. 11-year-old Nickel and his mother need to find a new apartment, and their search in the city took them into an unfamiliar part. And Nickel is drawn to a strange building at the end of an alley called the Beastly Arms. Even though the rent is dirt cheap, the apartment is beautiful, and Nickel's mom thinks the Beastly Arms is creepy. So does his best friend, and even Nickel's pet kangaroo rat seems worried. But Nickel, an avid photographer who has a gift for seeing what others don't, senses that the Beastly Arms houses a secret. Oh, that's hard to read. Houses a secret that only he can unearth.
Cool.
So I remember, I can only really speak to my feelings when I was reading this book. And there, it's a mystery book, actually, because you're following Nickel through his search to discover the secret about this apartment building. Mm. And he sees the world in animals, which is cute.
That's cool. Yeah.
So, like, he looks at people and he relates them to animals, which is why he has such an affinity towards them. And so does the landlord. So when Nickel and his mom, like, approach this building, the guy is like, we don't have any vacancies. But he sees Nickel's rat, like, pop out of his pocket. And he's like, oh, this kid's different. And they ushers them in. They find the apartment. It's beautiful. Like it says. So I remember feeling creepy. Like, it was eerie. Something was uncomfortable. It was a mystery. And I needed to, I read it through the end because I wanted to figure out why. And there's not a lot of reviews on the book. Because I was looking it up again to see, like, what the ending was. I don't remember. I'm going to have to read it again. Granted, this was 17 years ago that I read this book. So it's been a while. But it was the first thing that popped into my mind when we started talking about book recommendations. That and Maniac McGee.
I just read that.
Oh, I loved Maniac McGee.
I literally just read that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's so funny.
That is funny.
So, but The Beastly Arms, because it's a mystery and Belle wants to figure out why the beast is there, what Nevermore is all about. Mm-hmm. It gave you the sense of anxiety when the marionettes, like that same kind of creepy feeling.
Yeah.
I got reading Lost in a Book, I remember having as a child reading Beastly Arms.
Okay.
Now, the reviews are saying it's slow in the beginning. I don't remember that because usually when something's slow in the beginning, I throw it away. Like, I don't pick it up again. Like, Aragorn.
Ah, Aragorn, yeah.
That was so slow. I couldn't stand it.
Ah, so yeah.
I read it, and then I was annoyed, so I closed it, and I didn't pick it up for 3 years.
Did you ever finish it?
Yes.
Did you finish the whole series?
Not the last book.
Okay.
So I do have to reread them all.
I will tell you that the last book I thought was... It was very good, I thought.
Was it the last book?
The last book's the green one called Inheritance.
Yes.
Oh, you did read it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Ari's on the ship?
I honestly don't even remember.
I think that's the book. Yeah. I didn't like the ending
Okay.
of Inheritance. I think. I have to look it up again. I think I blocked it out.
I was going to say, I remember the ending with, like, the dragons. I don't remember her ending.
Yeah, I remember everything now. We'll talk about it off air.
Okay, yeah, cool.
But, yeah, I would say Beastly Arms. It's age-appropriate. It's a short book, only 200 and some pages. Mm. But it's... I remember liking it, and I remember having feelings. So, that's good.
That is good, yes. I remember having feelings.
From my cold heart.
Aw. No, you don't have a cold heart. I have a cold heart. I didn't like King Otto, remember?
I think you did. You just didn't
like
King.
I liked him. I just didn't, yeah.
In the context.
Yeah. So. I will say, just because, you know, we want to keep this, like, for time constraints and stuff, mm-hmm. I am very, like, I do like this discussion more, so I might post, like, a blog or video talking about this more.
Yeah.
On my own, like, talking about more stuff, like, recommendations, that stuff that this book did.
Sure.
Or that just didn't do well, that other books have done better. So I might post that. I'm debating about it right now. So if I do,
we'll see. Go for it.
Yeah, because I would.
You. Yeah. Let us know your book recommendations.
Definitely.
For, around this, for, young adults, around the age 10, that's how this started. And let them be bad, let them be good. What book as a child struck you?
Good idea. Yeah, that's a great idea. Yeah, we would love to hear from you.
Yeah. It'll give us something to read and make more references to.
Definitely. Yeah, so, yeah, for sure.
And where can they make these references, Danielle?
Well, you can do it really anywhere, honestly. You can do it on Twitter. What, you okay there?
Yeah, my eyes freaked out because I can still see the lettering on the screen when you switch a slide.
Yeah. Yeah, it's messed up. Yeah, you can do it on social media. Maybe just put the hashtag BABAT podcast, just so we can see it, and add us on Twitter. So you can reach us on our social media, Twitter, Facebook. We have a group and a page. You can reach out to us on Tumblr, email us. badastwilight@gmail.com. Goodreads, we have a group on Goodreads, so if we want to, we can make a book recommendations.
We're gonna have to start doing that.
Yeah, no, I don't go on Goodreads that much, to be honest, so we definitely have to go on there more so we can have more discussions.
And listen, even, we have jobs outside of this.
I was
we
gonna
have
say to do. Yeah, and you know what, like, I think even though this is our last episode talking about Lost in a Book, don't let that end the discussion for you listeners. Like, if you still want to discuss it, like, Goodreads and Facebook group, like, we would love to do that. I will try to make, like, forums on Goodreads so we can discuss it more if you want to, and we will chime in whenever, you know, feel necessary. And just talk amongst yourselves, because honestly, it's just two of us here sometimes, obviously Tanya and Chris, but really nobody else is commenting, so we'd love to hear your thoughts. Yeah, were you gonna say something?
I was going to say talk among yourselves, but keep it nice. Don't be mean.
Yeah, let's all be nice to each other. Yeah, because
the world is hard enough. We don't need people to bitch about each other and one another on a fucking book review.
I was gonna say, be nice to each other. You have an opinion, and that is welcomed, and we, you know, you can. I think it's important not to insult one another when reviewing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No insults. You could say we're bad at this, and that's fine. Give us. But then let us know how we can improve.
Right, exactly.
You know.
Yeah, exactly.
And don't be like, oh, I hate listening to two girls talk about things that they don't know about.
How dare you?
How dare you?
I'm an English major. And Brittany knows a lot of stuff about literature. I've talked to her.
I do not.
Yes, I think you do. I don't think you give yourself enough credit. I think you know a lot more than you think.
I think I just know how I want things to go. And they don't go that way. So I'm stubborn.
I feel you. Me too. So I feel that. Yeah, I feel you. All right. So that ends our discussion. This is the last one ever of Lost in the Book.
Oh, also, shout out to Audible.
Yes, let's talk about Audible.com. Yes. So this episode is sponsored by Audible.com.
And if you go on to a link that they provided us for our listeners,
which is www.audibletrial.com/BABAT.
You can get a free trial for 30 days and a free audiobook. Otherwise it would have cost you $15.
Right.
So that's a pretty cool deal.
It is. It's a very cool deal. And they have over 180,000 titles to choose from, which is awesome. And you can listen really anywhere on your iPhone, your Kindle, MP3 player, smartphone.
They have a ton of things on there, too. Like, Danielle was talking about, like, the great courses that they have on there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They have all sorts of books. They have Lost in a Book.
Yeah, they do, yeah.
Just everything. It is the biggest platform for audio media.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Like, of audiobooks. I don't know media, but definitely audiobooks.
Well, yeah, for sure. And we would recommend listening at this point, since we're going to be reading The Cursed Child. We would recommend reading the Harry Potter series.
Or listening.
Listening to the Harry Potter series via audible.com. That way, if you haven't listened or read Harry Potter yet, like, get on it. Come on
now.
Don't
worry you.
Yeah, like, come on now. Get on it. Because we're going to make a lot of references to it. So, you know, it's good to be.
My friend on Facebook literally just posted, 2 days ago, should I read the Harry Potter books?
What?
And then, like, it was split in the comment section. Like there were people like, I never read them, only saw the movies. And everyone else is like, how dare any of you? So.
Look, if you've only seen the movies, read the books.
You're missing so much.
You really are. I mean, the movies, I know a lot of people who love the movies, but honestly, there's just, I mean, when you read the books, your mind will be blown.
Don't know Peeves, which is the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
I don't know why they didn't include him.
Budget, I think.
Budget?
Yeah.
But they had nearly had this.
I guess that was all they felt they needed. Look, they had to make a really kick-ass dragon scene where Harry gets chased by a dragon all over Hogwarts. That was totally unnecessary to the plot, but it was cool. All right? If you don't know, I'm being sarcastic right now. I hate that scene.
That was hard to pick up on the sarcasm on that.
Thank you.
To be perfectly honest.
Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you. I'm good at my job.
So, yeah, go to Audible, get those books, get that free trial. I mean, hey, it's not costing you anything.
Right.
Might as well do it and enjoy it. And it's always yours. That book will always be yours through Audible.
Correct. And again, that link is audibletrial.com/BABAT. Again, audibletrial.com/BABAT.
Woo! Now on to season two.
Yes, on to season two. Again, we're reading Cursed Child. Harry Potter and the Cursed Child.
Get into it.
You better start getting on that so we can all be on the same page. And again, we're going to be having, we're going to announce our giveaway winners.
Oh, yeah. Woohoo!
So again, this is the last announcement. I'll say they have another week after this episode is posted.
Sure.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
To submit your reviews to us again. Putting it on iTunes is not enough. You have to email it to us to verify that you've done it. Otherwise, we can't enter you just because iTunes takes a little while. So say our giveaway has ended, but you entered it and you didn't send it to us and it's not on iTunes. We have no way of knowing that.
Mm-hmm.
So again, be sure to screenshot what your review says so that we know you can be entered automatically and you will get a book that you don't even know what the book is yet. It's just a surprise.
Dun, dun, dun.
Done. So yeah, it's gonna be great. So special thanks to Katie Hartung for our lovely artwork and Gabe Miller for our introduction music. It's great. We're gonna be having brand new introduction music
next episode.
Woohoo. So get hyped for that. You can find us, we already kind of mentioned, with social media, Twitter, Facebook, Facebook group, Facebook page. We have a Tumblr, we have an Instagram, we have a Goodreads page, we also have an email. But you can find all of that stuff in our show notes and on our website, babatpodcast.com. You can listen on iTunes and Google Play.
I think we said all this already.
Did we?
Yeah.
Okay, well.
Have a good night.
We're just going to cut it off there, folks. All right. Peace out. See you next book.